Well, the industrial upheaval that the Latrobe Valley is facing right now has parallels elsewhere in the world. In the Rust Belt states of the US, for instance, where manufacturing jobs have long disappeared to low-wage countries like China, many displaced workers have either remained unemployed or found only low-paid, insecure jobs in their place. Many of these workers felt only Donald Trump had the answer to their woes, and they turned to him rather than to the unions in the quest for better jobs and conditions. Damon Silvers is one of the most senior officials, union officials, of the United States trade union movement. He's the director of policy and special counsel for the American Federation of Labor, Congress of Industrial Organizations. That's like our ACTU. The AFL-CIO is roughly the equivalent of the ACTU. Damon Silvers is currently visiting in this country. Damon, welcome to RN Breakfast.
It's great to be with you, friend.
Workers abandoned the Democrats at the last US election. They turned to Donald Trump, who promised to make America great again and bring back American jobs. Why do you think that Donald Trump appealed in Rust Belt states?
Well, friend, that story's gotten a lot of attention, but it's not actually true. A substantial majority of union members voted for Hillary Clinton, 55 to 37.
I guess the problem, just to intervene there, the problem is that most workers are not union members now in America.
Well, and the majority of working people voted for Hillary Clinton as well. But I think it's true that Donald Trump spoke directly to the fundamental problem in American society and the U.S. economy, which is that wages for working people have been stagnant for 30 years. And what we have right now is a kind of choice about which direction, what type of solution would work to change that, to make wages move up again and make our economy work for all. Donald Trump offers the sort of classic authoritarian solution, you know, salvation only through me, the individual, while the people who implement policy for him continue the very policies that caused wages to stagnate in the first place. The labor movement offers a different response, which is that working people themselves together have the ability to shape society in a more fair and prosperous direction.
What do you mean? Workers joining together and going on strike for their labor?
Well, the labor movement is about a lot of different things. One of them is having the ability to strike, having some actual power in society and the economy, but it's also about having voice. The labor movement is a way for working people to come together and have some influence in the public square, so to speak. And frankly, in our society, as I think is increasingly true here in Australia, money dominates public discourse. And only when working people come together are they able to counterbalance that the power of wealth.
So, Damon, as you say, wages in the US have been stagnant for nearly three decades now. Mm-hmm. The jobs are disappearing. Those low-skilled jobs are disappearing. They've moved offshore. In their place, workers are faced with low-paid, insecure jobs in retail and service industries. They're on contracts rather than tenure. Yet joining a union and a collective action to improve things isn't happening. How come?
Well, I think that the labor movement is challenged both in the United States and, as I understand it from the conversations I've had here in Australia, to evolve to be more to have organizations that are sort of more about the work experience of people in the growing sectors of the economy, both the low wage and the high wage sectors. I think the story that says that, you know, what's happened in the U.S. and other developed countries is the disappearance of low-skilled work isn't really right. For example, we've had falling wages in the U.S. for college graduates for the last 10 years. It's not really a story about skill or technology. It's a story about power. It's a story about the growing concentration of economic and political power in a handful of people and corporations, which has occurred throughout the world. As has happened before in modern history, the challenge here is for working people's organizations to evolve to effectively counteract it. That's what we're all about here, and from the time I've spent in Australia, it seems to me that's what the ACTU is about too.
So you're saying it's not about globalization, it's about wealth distribution. Earlier this year, charity Oxfam reported that, a staggering finding really, the world's eight richest billionaires control the same wealth between them as the poorest half of the globe's population, and that this concentration of wealth in a few hands is only getting worse. Do you see that, if you agree with that, do you see that as the dynamic that might motivate workers in Western countries to start joining unions again, because in the US and here in Australia, union memberships are well below 20% of the workforce.
Yeah, the basic dynamic of growing, of runaway inequality in the world economy, and particularly in the United States, is the worst of the major economies in this regard, is driving our politics and our economics. It's key to understanding why we haven't had strong growth in the United States, and it's key to why we're seeing the same problem worldwide of stagnant growth. The labor movement's job right now for our institutions is to make our institutions capable of triggering the kind of movement, the kind of social movement dynamic that can really effectively challenge runaway inequality.
Okay. Can I just ask you finally, the newly appointed ACTU boss here, Sally McManus, last week caused a stir when she said on ABC TV that it's acceptable for unionists to break unjust laws. She was speaking in defence of the CFMEU. You're a lawyer and a senior unionist. Mm-hmm. What's your feeling about this? Well, are there laws that should be broken?
You know, I don't understand really why this is so controversial. The Sally McManus is basically saying exactly what Mahatma Gandhi and Nelson Mandela and Martin Luther King said. And in particular, you know, next week is the anniversary of Martin Luther King's assassination. He was killed the day he was intending to lead an illegal march supporting an illegal strike of garbage of sanitation workers. You know, there were people who were upset with him for doing that. It seems to me that if you're criticizing what Sally McManus said, you're really taking the side of the people who were against Martin Luther King. And you know, that argument was going on then. It's going on now. You pick your side. I personally would rather be on Martin Luther King's side, and I think that's where Sally McManus is.
Damon Silvers, thanks very much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Damon Silvers, Director of Policy and Special Counsel for the American Federation of Labor Congress of Industrial Organizations, which is essentially the same as the ACTU here in Australia. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 28 minutes to 9.